Thank you, Philippa, for leading us through that time of communion together. This morning, I want to talk to you about a subject that, more than usual, will probably cause most people to fall asleep, and it's the subject of prayer. In fact, I want to talk to you this morning about the priority of prayer and so on. I don't know about you, but I suspect that most people fall into two camps. Either you're more sort of pragmatic and science-orientated, or you're more into the arts and poetry and literature and so on. I was always into the arts, poetry, literature, and art itself. So if you were to think about yourself, I wonder where would you put yourself? Would you describe yourself as more... Who are the creative ones, the arty, the literature, the poetry? Let me just see a show of hands. Who would describe themselves like that? Oh, right. So does that mean the rest of you then are more pragmatic then, in terms of you see things, you know, as they are, and it's everything's very straightforward? The reason I ask that is because it's been one of those weeks where prayer, I think, if you talk about the natural world, you would have these two ideas. The idea of that which is flowing, free-flowing, creative, there are no hard and fast lines, and you have the world of science where things are as they are. So, for instance, maths is great because one and one, as far as I know, will always equal two. I think that's right, isn't it, Roy? You can see why he's an accountant, can't you? Yeah, as far as I know, one plus one will always be two. But in the world of art and literature and so on, things are a bit more fluid, and there's no hard and fast lines. And I think in terms of our Christian walk, prayer is one of those that falls into the realm of fluid. There are no hard and fast lines. How do you pray? Is there a way of praying? Well, you know, there's different ways of praying. There's no particular way of praying. And prayer can be quite fluid. And we can be creative in the way that we pray. And so this morning it's quite difficult in some respects because of the fact that it's not something that is hard and fast, it's tangible. And so when I speak about it, I think, you know, these are just my ideas, my thoughts in terms of things that I've learnt as I've walked with God. I think the other part of Scripture that is a little bit fluid and whatever is that of end times, Revelation. And it's been my privilege this week to speak about both of them. So it's been quite a week, and I did. I spoke to the youth on Friday night, summarizing 22 chapters of the end times in just a few pages, just two or three pages. And so what I'm saying is this, that I come to you this morning, not as an expert on prayer, because I don't think there are any experts on prayer, but we're all on a journey learning how to commune with God, how to have relationship with God through this medium that we call prayer, which is simply us talking to God either verbally or through the heart, you know, the spirit. But we're always on a journey. We're always learning something about prayer. But this morning, one of the things that I want to try and persuade you of and consider is the primacy of, or the first place, the importance of corporate prayer. It's important. It's important in the life of the body. It's important in the life of the individual. I want us to leave this morning, hopefully, seeing prayer differently, thinking about prayer differently. I want us to leave this morning maybe considering and thinking about our weekly prayer meetings in a different light, maybe coming to them with a sense of fresh excitement, a fresh sense of, I have something to contribute. My second aim and the prayer for this morning is that we as individuals will determine in our own minds to take a step forward in our participation and confidence in prayer. because I want us to be a confident people in prayer. And prayer is one of those things where when you say to someone, can you pray in a meeting or whatever, and more often people say, I can't pray. I don't know how to pray. Or I don't pray. What they mean is that they don't pray in public. It's not that they don't ever pray. But I want us to become more confident in terms of moving forward in participation and being confident in prayer, not just as individuals, but as a corporate body, as a group of believers who gather together for the purpose of seeing God's glory manifest through our prayers. Amen? Because when we come together for the purpose and the belief that our prayers are going to make a difference. Otherwise, why would we come together to pray except that we believe it's going to make a difference? And so why am I talking about prayer? Am I talking about prayer today because, you know, our prayer meetings aren't going as well as I want them to? Well, no, because our prayer meetings, I think, are going very well. We've into a different season. We're seeing more people engage with prayer than perhaps we've ever seen people engage with prayer. Is it because, you know, we can better improve our prayer ministry? Well, we can always improve our prayer ministry. But those aren't the reasons why I want to talk to you about prayer this morning. But I want to talk to you about prayer, particularly about three issues. Firstly, I want to say this, that corporate prayer is on a par with preaching and teaching. Too often as believers, if we were to put a hierarchy in the working of a church life, we'd put preaching and teaching and some of the apostolic ministries up there. But I want to challenge you this morning and say to you that prayer is on a par with preaching and teaching. If we're going to have a healthy church, if we're going to have a healthy people, then we can't do it without prayer. Secondly, prayer together as a body of people is vital to opening the presence of God and releasing his work in unique ways amongst us. It's vital. If we're going to see an increased move of God individually and corporately, and we're praying for this town and for the people, then if we're going to see an increased work in God, then there has to be times when we come together in prayer, corporate prayer together. And the last reason I believe it's prayer is important is because there is a tendency amongst believers, particularly those who sometimes occupy positions of leadership in the body of Christ, to think and to treat prayer as an extracurricular activity. There's a tendency for some of us to treat prayer as though it's an add-on, as though it's something we have a choice about whether or not we choose to do it or whether we engage with it or not. I want to say quite categorically that prayer isn't extracurricular. It's a vital part, it's a central part to the life and the growth of any body of people in the church. It's vital and it's necessary. And so, in that, what I'm saying, our prayer meetings, the times when we have opportunity to come together and we have an opportunity to tomorrow night when we join with other churches praying together for the town, for the well-being of the people, when we have opportunities like that to come together, really it's not an option. It's something that we should be doing. It's something that is reflective of a healthy people and a healthy church. I want us this morning to maybe grasp and understand that part of the sovereignty of God is that he has ordained that corporate prayer is part of the life of any church. God has ordained it. Times when we come together so that his mighty works might increase exponentially. In other words, they might increase supernaturally more than at a natural rate of growth. When we come together for the purpose of prayer, we need to understand that God is at work in us and through us for the purpose of changing and transforming our lives, transforming our churches, transforming our towns and transforming our nations. That's what we're in the business of doing. That's what we're about when we come together to pray. We're in a transformation business. We're looking for something to change, aren't we? Surely we are. When we're praying, we're looking for something, whatever it is, to change. And so we're in a transformation business. And that might be a bold statement to say that when we come together to pray, we're looking for a transformation in all these areas. But the fact is that Scripture and world history tell us that the world desperately needs a church and a people that are praying. Desperately needs a people and a church that are praying. The Scriptures show us something simple and profound, something that should stir us, that praying churches and a praying people transform and change the world. We are the change makers. We who pray fervently, consistently, are the ones who change situations for the better. And God needs a people who are persistently and constantly praying. And so prayer, I want to encourage you, is not an optional accessory. It's not an optional accessory, definitely for us as individuals, and it certainly isn't an optional accessory for us to come, you know, for corporate times together. I believe that when we come together, something different happens to when we pray individually. Something different happens in the spiritual atmosphere when we come together corporately to pray together. And so I am dependent on you, even as you're dependent on me. We need each other in this work that God has called us to do. So let's have a look then, and there's many places that we could go in Scripture to look at this whole idea of prayer being a priority for the body of God. But I want us to look at Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7, and we're just going to read that and just pull some things out of that text. So Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. And you appreciate that this is a time during the early stages of the church being established here on earth. And it says this: "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number," and that's always great, isn't it, to read that, disciples increasing in number, and it's great, you know, when God's church increases in number. Sometimes we say we can't talk about numbers, but it's an indicator of life in the church. "A complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution." And just so, again, just to help, the Hellenists were Jews, but they were Jews that had a Greek influence. They had returned to Jerusalem after the exile, and they had picked up some of the traits of Greek teaching. And so they were Jews, but they had a Greek influence to them. Most of the other Jews who are referred to as Hebrews predominantly spoke Aramaic, but the Hellenistic Jews spoke Greek. And so that's the basic difference. "And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the spirit of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolas, a proselyte in Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them, And verse 7 says, the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And the first thing that I want to pull out of there, talking about prayer being a priority for the body of Christ, is that praying together was a priority for the apostles. And if praying together was a priority for the apostles in the early days of the establishing of the church, then I want to suggest that praying together should also be a priority for us. In chapter 6 there, we see that the church in Jerusalem was facing a few dilemmas. And it says this, now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. That word distribution is the word diakonia. Get that right, diakonia, which is the root word from which we get the word deacon. That's where we get our word deacon from that Greek word diakonia. And it means this, it means to serve, or it means ministry. The emphasis of that word is on serving. And so that's why we have deacons who serve. In fact, to be fair, even as elders, our role is that of serving. And then later on, we get the same word coming in a different context. In verse 2, it says, the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word to serve tables. Again, the same root word means to wait on, to serve at the tables. It's the same root word. And the focus is on serving others. Serving others. And then verse 3 goes on to talk about, therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit, who will appoint to this duty. And then in verse 4, it literally says this, and this is where I want to, it literally says this, but we devote ourselves to prayer, and the diakonia of the word will steadfastly continue. The serving of the word, the waiting on the word will continue. Now, I don't know about you, but when I've read that in the past, there's been times when I've read it like this. When it says, we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word, I've understood it to be like this. That what the apostles were saying is that their ministry, in terms of building the church, in terms of praying, was so important that they couldn't waste their time by doing the sort of minor things, the practical things, in the daily things that would bind them up, like, you know, serving the communion or whatever. But actually, that isn't what the text is saying. The text doesn't mean that at all. The text is not saying that they want, you know, they want their time to be freed up so they can focus specifically on just prayer and ministry of the word. They were talking about a ministry of mobilizing people, the people of God, to pray together. They were marking out two important ministries in the church that were vital, the ministry of prayer and the ministry of serving. And what they were saying was this, that these ministries are so important that we cannot neglect them. But they were not saying that prayer is only their responsibility. They were saying, look, people, if we are going to be the people of God, if we're going to be the people that God determines us to be, then these two things have to be of importance to us. Prayer as a body, we've got to gather together, pray together, but also we need to be serving one another. This text is focused on ministry to a group of people, not ministry to individuals. The apostles, and when we read about the apostles praying, in Acts. Their priority is not about praying together, but about praying. Sorry, not about praying individually, but about praying together. When we look in the scriptures, particularly in Acts, every single occurrence of a reference to prayer that precedes chapter 6. So if we look in Acts 1:14, it says, all these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. And then again, in that same chapter, in verse 24, it says, and they prayed and said, you, Lord, know the hearts of all. Show which one of these two you have chosen. So again, there is a group of people. Then again in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship and the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And then Acts 3:1, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and so on, all the way through the scriptures, all the way through Acts up to chapter 6. Every reference of prayer is not to individual prayer, but to corporate prayer. And corporate prayer was important to the apostles. It's not a reference to their private times of prayer, but it's a reference to the people of God praying together. And so by testimony of the apostles and by example, the apostles placed a great importance on corporate prayer. And therefore, we too should also place equal importance on our times of praying together. It's vital. It's critical. It's not just about the preaching of the word, but equally important are our times of prayer together. And so I want to encourage you, we have different opportunities in the life of the body to come together to pray. I say we have the joint prayer meeting tomorrow night, and I'd love to see as many of you there as possible. Perhaps you've never engaged it with that before. Perhaps you don't think you've got anything to offer. Well, let me tell you, you do. You do. Bring yourselves along and see what God will do, because God always, God delights to work through a group of people. When we choose to come together, God honors that. It's not just about preaching and teaching of the word. Corporate prayer is vital to the life of the body. The second thing is that praying together was modeled by Jesus. Not only modeled by him, but practiced by him. The apostle learned all their leadership skills. The apostles learned about what it is to pray through the patterns of Jesus, by looking at how Jesus conducted himself. If you look in the Gospels, if you sort of dig deep or mine the Gospels for Jesus' teaching and practice of prayer, you'll find 37 verses, sometimes repeated more than once in the Gospels. In those 37 instances when Jesus refers to prayer, 33 of them were addressed in the plural rather than the singular. 33 out of 37 times when Jesus spoke about prayer, he was addressing a body or plural rather than singular. You see, again, if we were to look at the numbers and just take the numbers, but for me, I think what that tells us is that corporate prayer, praying together, was also important to Jesus. Look in Matthew 7, where we know the text where it says, ask and it will be given. But to give it its literal translation, in Matthew 7:7, it says, keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep seeking and you will find. Keep knocking and it will be opened to you. And of course, when we read that, we read as an individual. But it wasn't to an individual. Don't forget, when Jesus spoke about keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, he wasn't speaking to an individual, he was speaking to a group of people. It was in the context of the Sermon on the Mount. He was speaking to a vast group of people. And he says, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, and it will be opened to you. And so corporate prayer, our times of prayer together are important. Listen, we miss you when you're not with us praying because you're important. It was important to Jesus, and it's certainly important to us. In other passages, Jesus deliberately emphasized the significance of praying together. Again, Matthew 18, verse 19 says this, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them, plural, by the Father in heaven. Jesus could have said, if anyone asked, but he didn't. He said, if two of you agree. In other words, he was emphasizing the fact that it's more than an individual thing, but actually it involves a group of people. You see, Jesus' focus on prayer was more than that of just the individual. Jesus was trying to show us that God's design, part of God's design for his church and for gatherings, was that corporate times of prayer are necessary and vital in the life of the church. Corporate times of prayer achieve something unique that individually we can't do. I think when we come together, we encourage one another in prayer. I think when we come together in those corporate times, we lift one another in prayer. How many times have you been in meetings where you've come and you've felt a little bit down and you've heard someone pray, or even someone's prayed for you and it's just lifted you to another level? There is something unique about praying corporately. The apostles made a practice and made a priority of corporate prayer. And I think as fellow believers, as students of the Lord Jesus Christ, we too should not neglect the opportunities that we have of coming together for prayer. It's made a difference. Last year, we made the decision, because we believed it was what God was calling us to do, to go back again to weekly times of prayer. And things have happened, and I absolutely believe that those things are the result of prayer, because it makes a difference. It makes a difference. In evangelism, or if you in your witness, you know, you pray before you speak to someone or do something, and it makes a difference because it's not then dependent on you. The great thing about prayer before we do anything is that it constantly reminds us that it's not about us, but it's about him. That's what prayer does. It changes our focus, takes it away from ourselves, and focuses on the one who for whom nothing is impossible. Praying together was also a New Testament principle, and we see all the way through the scriptures. The book of Acts records all the great works that God did as a result of people praying together. The early church is all about the people of God coming together, praying, and seeing great works of God unified in prayer. How many times do we read in Acts about the people praying in one accord? In other words, there was no division. They were in one accord. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, living in the believer, they were exercising that, and they were in one mind, one accord, praying for the same thing. And look what happened. The 120 gathered in the upper room, praying in one accord at the Feast of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit comes. Bam! Things were never the same again. The disciples prayed for wisdom in knowing who to replace Judas. And God, by his Spirit, made it abundantly clear. Peter and John reported the Sanhedrin's threats. Those that were praying for them gathered and cried out to God in one accord and boldness. And it says that the place that they were praying in was shaken, was stirred. The church, again, Acts 6, prayed over the seven men appointed to serve the widows, and we've just read that. James, martyred, and Peter, imprisoned by Herod. but the church was fervently praying for them in one accord. And the God delivered, miraculously delivered Peter from his cell. And we know the story there. We know the account, how the building shook. And the guard was so fearful about what had happened. He fell down and he gave his life there and then because of what he'd seen. And that came about because the church was praying. Because people were on their knees praying and believing that God could change the circumstances. Paul and Silas praying when God sent an earthquake and the chains fell off and they walked out of their prison cell. Listen, things happen when people pray. Amen? Things happen when people pray. And we mustn't neglect or forget the importance of prayer, not just individually, but corporately. Corporately. The great thing about corporate prayer is that you hear someone pray or someone say something and it sparks something, it stirs something in the spirit. And it prompts you then to pray off the back of what you've heard or whatever. And you build up and you build up and you build up. Corporate prayer, friends, is vital. I want to say again that I'm not in any way negating the place of personal prayer. It's vital, it's important that every single one of us have those personal times of prayer. Prayer comes out of relationship. But nonetheless, corporate prayer, times together, are vital. Times together, I believe, releases a unique working of God that individually we won't see. There's something significant about praying together. We need each other. Lastly, praying together proves that God still works today. We have testimonies. We hear stories about how God has worked in individual lives, what God has done. And that's why, in some respects, it's so vital that when we come together corporately in gatherings like this, we come prepared to offer our prayers of thanksgiving, because it encourages the body. We hear what God is doing in the lives of individuals. It proves that God is still at work today. And I know that God is at work today. One of the common denominators, if you like, of the growing church anywhere in the world, one of the common denominators of growth and advancement is you will always find in the back room, for want of a better expression, a praying people. Nothing comes. You know, you look at these sort of mega churches and you look at these great moves of God, and we're sometimes guilty of thinking, oh, it would be great if our church were like that. Or we think, oh, it'd be great if we were part of that, if that was happening with us. Well, yeah, it would be great. But let me tell you, those things don't happen before prayer. There are people praying before ever you see any of those outworkings, and nothing comes easy. And there is a requirement that if we want to see the advancement, if we want to see greater influence, if we want to see this town transformed and changed, if we want to see lives transformed and changed, then it doesn't come without prayer first. If we were to track all the significant moves of and growth around the world, Korea, China, Eastern Africa, you will always, I guarantee you will always find people praying behind the scenes. Prayer, corporate prayer, is vital. And you might be thinking, well, you know, we never see that in our prayer meetings. We don't see that in our church. We never see God work in power like that. Well, actually, we do. And, you know, we've got recent testimonies of that. But over the next few months, why can't we believe? Why can't we test God, if you like, trust God, and say, actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make an effort to be in those meetings. I'm going to test you, God. I'm going to trust you that as I add to the prayers of the other saints, that we are going to see an exponential work of power. We're going to see an exponential move in this town. I'm going to trust you, God, that as I add to the, to the body and join in prayer, I'm going to trust you, God, that we're going to see significant moves. We're going to see breakthroughs individually and corporately that we've never seen before. Why don't you challenge yourselves? Why don't you determine in your hearts that over the next, 2 months, let's say 2 months. Here's a challenge for you. Why don't you say over the next 2 months, you're going to determine in your mind and in your heart that whether you feel as though you want to or not, you're going to be in those prayer meetings. You're going to expect God, and you're going to be looking to see what God does. I guarantee it will make a difference. I'll even go as far as to say that if you give it 2 months, at the end of the 2 months, you'll want to continue. But you've got to make a start. We've got to determine that we're going to come together for the purpose of seeing God's power, His kingdom, and His glory manifest through the prayers of praying saints. Why don't we do that? Why don't we do that? There are other things that compete in our daily lives that we'll spend 3-4 hours in front of the TV, but we won't determine to spend maybe an hour and a half together in corporate prayer. But let me tell you, an hour and a half together in fervent prayer will accomplish far more than 6-12 hours in front of the TV. Come on, church. Let's determine in our hearts and minds that we want to see a change and that we are going to be part of that change. Right now, let's determine to change our thinking, change our attitudes toward prayer. It's vital, not just individually, but corporately as well.